This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We continue our back-to-school series. We're doing about 2 weeks of interviews with area education leaders and professionals. And today, somebody new to talk to, Erica Baer, superintendent of the South Umpqua School District. Thanks for coming in.
It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So talk about your background and education, kind of some of the things you've done so far.
Sure. So I started out as a special education teacher, I'm going to say over 20 years ago, up in the Westland-Wilsonville School District, which is in the Portland area, working with middle school students. Did that for a long time, and special education is still very much where my educational heart and philosophy comes from. I then came down to the Medford area and was able to broaden the age group that I worked with. So I continued being a special education teacher, supporting students ages K through transition as a teacher on special assignment, and then moved into an administrative role in Ashland, first as assistant principal and then principal. Did that for 7 amazing years, and then took 1 year to work with our youngest learners as an elementary principal in Medford, and then got a literal call to see if I would be willing to go back to Ashland, which I did enthusiastically, so that I could support special education on a broader scale at the district office, and was there for 4 years as director of student services and assistant superintendent. And that brings us to now.
So what interested you in the job in South Umpqua?
Yeah, so when I started thinking about a superintendency, there were a couple of things that were really important to me in terms of the district and the area I wanted to be in. And South Umpqua really checked all of those boxes. First, from my perspective, it's the ideal size. We have about 1,500 students, which means we're able to offer a really comprehensive program and lots of opportunities for kids, but we're small enough that I can really know and connect with all of the educators, students, and community members in a meaningful way, which is really critical for me. And it's also in an area, I'm sure you all know this, but the access to the ocean and the rivers and the waterfalls and the high are just tremendous. It also brought me closer to my extended family, which was important to me as well.
So when did you begin work?
I started on July 1st, so I'm just over 2 months in at this point.
And what's it been like so far?
Oh my gosh, my welcome has been tremendous. I knew coming in that the community and the educators here were phenomenal and very supportive, and that has just proven true over and over and over again. We had a phenomenal start, big kickoff celebration with all of our educators, and then students started just over a week ago, and it has been awesome.
And what's it like to have, you know, the first day as a superintendent, well, and your first time as a superintendent? Yeah. What was that like?
You know, it's an exciting mind shift to think about the impact that we can have on a broader scale as superintendent, and really thinking about the impact we can have certainly for our students and their outcomes and what they're going to be doing moving forward, but also for the community as a whole. Having a really high quality educational system is so critical for community development. And as I settled into this new community and fell in love with it so completely, it was really exciting to think about having an impact on that broader scale.
So as you look at your first year, what are some of your goals?
Yeah, so when I came in, I had the opportunity to sit down with lots of folks and get a sense of where our real strengths are that we could leverage, and then some of the opportunities that we had for improvement. And I noticed that our student outcomes in particular around literacy are not where they where we would hope for them to be. That really unlocks the world for students to be able to read at grade level. So that's a primary focus for us this year. We're spending a significant amount of time and energy to make sure that our teachers have all the tools in their tool belt to teach our students to read well and on grade level. So that's one primary goal for us. The second is to improve our attendance rate. We've struggled with regular attendance for many of our students, and we know that we need students to be in school in order for us to teach them well. So we're really making sure that we're making our classroom safe and welcoming and engaging places where students really want to be, and then also supporting our families and understanding the real importance and necessity of being a regular attender in school.
Do you feel like after the pandemic, it has been kind of a tough road in that attendance area?
It really has. And I should say the attendance challenges are not at all unique to South Umpqua. It is true across the state and across the nation. All districts really struggled with attendance. Every district I've talked to anyway really struggled with attendance following the COVID-19 pandemic. It really shifted a lot of families' thinking and priorities around attendance. And it also just impacted so many students and so many families in a really difficult way, making attendance more challenging.
Yeah, and I noticed, like, because I just got this message a few minutes ago from the governor's office, that the governor today actually signed a proclamation declaring this month as Attendance Awareness Month. I don't know if that is a new thing, maybe not, but again, just kind of underscoring that on the statewide level.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that. I think it might be new. And I understand because the state as a whole really is struggling, and South Umpqua is not an exception. And so really doing everything we can to ensure that those barriers are removed that are keeping kids from attending school, and making sure that school is really a place that students value and want to be.
And do you feel like when somebody begins to have kind of a pattern of irregular attendance, not only does it impact their day-to-day work, but there's a point there where mentally the parent or the student or both just kind of hits a wall and realizes it's going to be really hard to ever catch up?
Absolutely. And the parts of attendance that really make a difference for students academically, it really reduces stress and helps increase connection. And when you're not there every day and you start to fall behind and you start to lose connection with your peers and the educators that are serving you, it becomes more and more difficult to re-engage. There's also a point where students feel like there's no way to make up the lost ground, or when they come into the classroom because they've missed the most recent instruction, they're feeling behind and frustrated, and then they don't want to go to school, and it becomes kind of a cycle that makes it really challenging to break, which is why setting those habits early of positive attendance is so critical.
And I mean, it depends on the year, the grade level, and maybe what the curriculum is, but there are points there if you're gone for a period of time, you walk back in and you're already expected to know things that you really haven't looked at if you haven't been studying at all. And that just keeps the cycle going.
That's exactly right. And when students come in and feel behind, feel like they don't have the skills, then it becomes very stressful and school doesn't feel like a welcoming, happy place to be. And then they really don't want to come. And so the more school they miss, the more likely it is that they're going to miss more school. And so it really becomes cyclical and something that we'd like to interrupt.
Now, if you had to describe maybe a philosophy of teaching, what would it be?
So my philosophy is really that it's the educator's job to provide windows and experiences and opportunities for students to unlock their own passion areas and facilitate their own learning. I think we teachers are the guides that make sure that they have all the tools and the skills and the direction to go. And we want students to really be the ones doing the cognitive work and struggling and learning and moving things forward. And so really active engagement, active participation. And I really believe in an active, busy classroom.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1. And it's Inside Douglas County's Back to School series. And on Monday, we're going to be talking to another school district superintendent. And it'll actually be Annalisa Nicholson from the Douglas Education Service District on Monday's Inside Douglas County. No, I'm jumping ahead. Let's just do this on the fly here and get it right, because I probably frightened somebody who thinks they're supposed to be on next week, and they're really not. Ah, we have the interim superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District on Monday, Kevin Wilson. All right, there we go. And today it's Erica Bear, new superintendent of the South Umpqua School District. Was it different to be walking into a smaller district after the time in Medford and Ashland?
It is a little bit different in really positive ways. I think, as I shared earlier, I really value the opportunity to get to know all of the educators in the system. So the teachers, the classified staff, the support professionals, and really get to know a lot of the students as well. And that's something that's more difficult in a larger district. It also gives me the opportunity to be a little bit more hands-on in the things that I'm super passionate about. So professional development and working alongside the administrators and teachers to improve practice.
So talk about the professional development piece, because like a lot of other careers, you really can't just say, I got a degree 20 years ago and I'm good. Everything has changed, not only technology, but just how students are taught. There's been so many changes. Talk about why you think professional development, continuing with that, is so important.
I think in order to be an educator, you have to be a learner. We're on a continual journey of self-improvement, and there's always a way that we can do something better. And it doesn't mean that we aren't doing it well right now. It just means that we can always do it a little bit better. And when we know better, we do better. And I believe strongly in that idea. So being on that continual improvement process as an educator is critical. If schools don't evolve with the times and evolve with the society that we're serving, then it's going to be really challenging for us to make sure that our students are adequately prepared for the world ahead.
With so much to cover in a school day and a teacher's schedule, how do you schedule in professional development opportunities? What are you doing at South Umpqua?
Yeah, so we have some time set aside before school starts and throughout the school year to make sure that we're targeting professional development. We also have arranged our schedule in such a way that we have the opportunity to work with teachers through professional learning communities and shorter professional development sessions, which are more effective in the long run when you can kind of cycle and be continually revisiting something throughout the year. And so we have those opportunities on Wednesdays. It's never enough time, but it is adequate time to make sure that we're continuing to move things forward.
And what are some of the, do you have teachers also, do they have opportunities to go elsewhere and get professional development?
At times we can provide those opportunities. More often, in order to impact the greatest number of students, we're thinking about either bringing experts to us or sending, you know, a couple people and then bringing that back, because it is difficult to travel en masse just to somewhere else.
So talk about the facilities at South Umpqua.
Yeah, so the facilities in South Umpqua, that's an interesting question, and it's going to take me a minute to answer because it's complicated. We have beautiful facilities that have been really expertly maintained to the degree that they're able, and we're so grateful to the folks who work so hard to make that happen. At the same time, we have a couple of buildings that are very, very old. They were built, you know, many, many, many years ago. And so those systems like plumbing, like electrical, our HVAC systems, all of those really critical systems are breaking down. And it's getting to a point where it's really difficult to keep them operational and maintained without significant intervention. So, and that becomes more and more expensive because, of course, they don't make any of these things anymore. So it's becoming harder and harder to maintain some of our buildings. That certainly isn't true for all of our buildings, but we do have a couple of buildings where we're really struggling. So they're beautifully maintained, very well cared for and loved by the students and staff, and all of the folks who take care of it. And also we're struggling with some of the infrastructure.
Well, and talking to some of your staff and some of your board members over time, that's really been a challenge because a number of attempts have been made with levies and all of that that haven't made it through.
That's true. And so that's something we have to consider, the needs and wants of our community in terms of how we can ensure our students have safe and comfortable places to learn while also kind of respecting the financial limitations and priorities of the community. So I am hopeful that as we move forward, we might find a way to do some significant work for some of our buildings that really need that. And until then, we're doing things like pursuing grants. We actually just received the Renew America grant, which was a huge gift that will allow us to hopefully replace the HVAC system in Canyonville, which is one of our oldest buildings. And so we are pursuing those opportunities for some of our facilities. Without the eventual passing of a bond, it's going to be really challenging. And we will continue to do everything we can to make sure that we can operate with what we have and that our students are safe and cared for.
Well, I know a lot of districts were able to do some things with the ESSER funds coming out of the pandemic. That's pretty much at the end of the road now, right?
It is. And I will say this is something that South Umpqua was very wise in that they utilized their ESSER funds for a significant amount of their ESSER funds for facility improvement. So they built a desperately needed new facility as part of Coffinberry Middle School. The cafeteria space there is brand new, and they utilized ESSER funds to do that, which, given our facility challenges and how we're able to make facility improvements, that was of tremendous benefit to our community and our schools. And took up most of the ESSER funds. And so that was, and we devoted a number, all the rest of it, to improving student outcomes. But that facility has been critical in being able to provide a rich and comfortable experience for our students.
After a couple of months, I know you're probably really just assimilating a lot of things and looking around, but are the things down the road, ideas you have for the district you're already developing?
Yeah, so as I have been talking to folks and understanding the needs and the challenges, as well as the tremendous strengths of the community, one of the real needs has been that we need to be very clear on our direction and set some really clear priorities. So we're going to be engaging in a strategic planning process starting here within the next month. And so I'm very excited to be able to share very specifically what we're going to be doing over the next 5 to 10 years in a way that will allow us to be very focused and results driven in our work moving forward.
What kind of partnerships does South Umpqua have with Umpqua Community College to maybe co-learning or different options that kids have?
Yeah, we're so grateful for our relationship with Umpqua Community College. We partner in a couple of different ways. A primary way is through offering dual credit courses through the high school and university together. So our high school students have the opportunity to take college level classes. And we know when students graduate with some college credits under their belt, they're more likely to go on to college and then persevere once they get there. So that's a tremendous partnership. We're very grateful. We're also partnering with them. They received a grant for Grow Your Own in order to build educators within our own community. And that is a tremendous opportunity for us to build our workforce for the future. And that is something that in South Umpqua and in all of Southern Oregon is a really critical component to making sure that we have high quality, high qualified professionals in front of our kids. So we're very excited about that.
So what's ahead for your schedule tonight?
Can you say that one more time?
Your schedule for tonight, I think, involves football.
I was thinking 4 years. I'm like, oh my goodness. No, tonight we have our first home game of the season. So very much looking forward to cheering on our Lancers tonight at the football field.
All right, Erica Bear, new superintendent of South Umpqua. Thanks for being in.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.